Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. I'm at the offices of International Data Corporation, better known as IDC, the research and analyst firm. They provide market intelligence, advisory service, and events for the ICT sector. And I'm here to chat to none other than Mr. John Tullett. Hello, John.
Hello, Duncan.
I was trying to think this morning, John, when we last recorded a podcast together. I think it must have been at least 4 or 5 years ago.
About 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. It's been a while.
And that would have been the now defunct, I think, ZA Tech Show.
I think so.
Indeed. John, now you're research manager for IT services for Africa at IDC.
Yeah.
But of course, you have a long and distinguished background as a technology journalist and editor. And we, if my memory isn't failing, we worked together at Systems Publishers for a time back in the 1990s.
We did indeed, yeah, in the mid-90s.
Which now seems like an awfully long time ago.
We're showing our age.
How did it get to be 2017? Anyway, we're not going to reminisce on this podcast today. We're here to talk about something altogether more exciting than that, and that's the news that Microsoft is going to build two Azure data centers in South Africa, one in Johannesburg and one in Cape Town. Technically, they're not building their data centers. They're going to be co-locating. But IDC put out a statement yesterday on this, providing your take on what it means, and I thought that statement made some really interesting points. That would make for a great podcast discussion. And so thanks cool. for agreeing to chat to us.
You're welcome.
Let's start with the basics. This is a really big deal that Microsoft is investing in this infrastructure in South Africa. Just perhaps give us a layman's overview of why that is the case.
Sure. So there's a couple of issues here, Duncan. And really, if you go back a few years, if you have a look at data center deployments of the top cloud providers, so that's Amazon, Google, Microsoft, there's this very common horseshoe pattern around the world. They have data centers more or less everywhere, and there's this big empty space in Africa. And for a long time, they've been challenged about that. When are you going to deploy infrastructure here? How committed are you to the local market and so on? And the answer has always been, you know, it's wishy-washy, sort of, it's coming, we're looking at it, that kind of stuff. Mm. So now, for the first time, we have a top-tier provider actually deploying infrastructure directly into South Africa to serve not just the South African market, but the African market as a whole. And it really, it lights up that map completely. It transforms it. If you have a look at the Microsoft data center map on their website, it just looks completely different with Africa lit up with data centers. Mm-hmm. So it's important. And it's also a recognition of where we are as a market. Obviously, this is a financial decision for Microsoft. They wouldn't invest if they didn't think they were going to get the returns. So what they're basically saying is that the market is large enough and growing fast enough to warrant the investment. If it's big enough and fast enough for Microsoft, presumably it's big enough and fast enough for others, so they will probably not be the last to invest either. So it's really a pretty important announcement, not just for Microsoft and its ecosystem of customers and partners, but for the South African cloud market as a whole.
So, you know, they're competing markets in Africa now. I mean, perhaps 10 years ago, people would have looked at South Africa and said, well, that's the logical place to invest. We've seen IBM, for example, making some initial infrastructure investments up in Kenya. Yep. They eventually did make the same investments here in South Africa, but they chose Kenya as their first market.
The innovation centers, yeah.
Do you think this would have been a big competition for Microsoft to decide where this data center would be, this infrastructure would be established, or do you think it was a logical choice to come to South Africa?
Yeah, South Africa is far bigger than other African countries in terms of cloud revenues right now. So it was inevitable that it would be South Africa. I don't think there was really any question about that. The interesting question is going to be how much of an impact this will have in those other African markets. Because, of course, if you're in Kenya, a data center in Johannesburg is still an offshore data center. Mm. So there will certainly be this kind of halo effect of that investment in the African continent and the local skills, the local service providers, which will step up. So I think it will have an impact on the rest of Africa, but obviously right now the impact is mainly South Africa.
And I suppose it would have a direct impact on countries within the SADC region, which border us, which have fiber connections into the country.
Well, sure, but you can get a fiber connection from here to pretty much anywhere. In fact, you can get already a direct fiber connection, MPLS, very high quality from here to the Azure data center in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So you can do that today. The issue really is more about governance. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how big your pipe is. If it's crossing a national border, there are going to be questions around data sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Most African countries either have legislation in place or in the pipeline to control data sovereignty and to put regulations in place. For the most part, they're not actually inhibition in terms of cloud adoption. They're just considerations. And it's causing a degree of confusion and doubt in the market, which has been inhibiting cloud uptake. So you see that with Poppy, for example. Yeah, Microsoft has been on this big marketing drive for a while now, trying to overcome the confusion around Poppy. I don't think it's been terribly successful. There's still a lot of confusion around the difference between who's owning the data, who's operating the service, and what their responsibilities are. Having a data center in country will help a lot.
Do you think that's the primary inhibitor to companies in South Africa adopting cloud services, especially not on-premise cloud?
Well, yeah, it's one of those things that comes up all the time in conversations, but I'm not sure if it's that much of a deal breaker.
Right.
It's certainly a strong consideration. I think right now it's a combination of things. Data sovereignty is one.
Yeah.
The economy is another. Although actually the downturn in the economy is not really hurting cloud adoption so much. It's delayed IT spend in general, and cloud obviously suffers because it's generally priced in dollars, so when the Rand depreciates, it hurts the adoption. But we're seeing pretty quick movement from on-premise solutions to cloud solutions, just because that movement from CapEx to OpEx is quite compelling.
So, well, I want to come back to that a bit later in the discussion and maybe spend some time talking about what is actually driving cloud adoption for South African businesses and organizations. But let's come back to the investment itself. Mm. Is Microsoft the first to build hyperscale infrastructure of this size? I know that Google has some infrastructure here. They don't typically disclose where it's located and how much infrastructure they have here. But if I use Google Drive, for example, I notice that I get full speed at very high, very good latencies. So presumably they have a fair amount of infrastructure on the ground here in South Africa. Is this a bigger investment than what Google's made to date, or is it difficult to tell?
So you can't really compare them directly, and part of it is because when you look at cloud architecture, it's fairly complex. So if you take a look at a big content provider, for example, yeah, they'll provide edge caches, which will move a lot of content down, but the smart is still in the cloud offshore. Mm. So the direct comparison here would probably be Microsoft to IBM. Mm. Right? IBM a year ago announced that they would deploy cloud infrastructure directly in South Africa, did that in partnership with Vodacom, and brought in Gajima. They were focusing very heavily on SAP workloads, but it is still the full stack they want to bring. That was a fairly cautious approach, right? A staged approach. It was very positive development at the time. It was still a good strategy. Basically, what Microsoft is doing is just considerably bigger and faster. Right? They're deploying full stack data centers at multiple locations, so two regions, but multiple data centers within those regions. So it's actually more than two data centers they're using. Yeah.
Okay.
With bringing in the full Azure stack, their focus initially will be on Azure Dynamics, Office 365, but it's the full stack they're bringing in. So it's a sort of jumping in the deep end approach, and presumably it's just it makes economic sense for them to do so. The market's at a point where they can do that. They think that the uptake will be fast enough to warrant it. They're avoiding the infrastructure costs by not actually breaking ground, so they're co-locating the services. But it will be a pretty fast and hard approach. They're going in all guns blazing. That's been their cloud strategy in general. They're trying to push it pretty fast. Different approach from IBM. It's not that IBM's approach is wrong necessarily, but this it does mean that Microsoft is really the first to deploy kind of hyperscale infrastructure, if you like.
Okay, so they're really drawing a line in the sand here and saying we're here to play.
They are, and the other big providers will be taking notice of that, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you think this is, I mean, the big gorilla you mentioned in the IDC statement you put out yesterday, you said the big gorilla here is Amazon.
Absolutely.
Do you think that this is going to prompt those guys to look at this market now?
Well, I hope so. It would be great if they did. So it's interesting, if you take a look at the public cloud revenues in general, Microsoft is actually making more money out of South Africa than Amazon is, mainly because those revenues include Office 365. Mm. But Amazon globally is the big competitor. I mean, they are far larger, they are more agile, they're more quick to bring these services to market, and they have all the advantages in their cloud space. It's very unusual for Microsoft in South Africa in particular to be able to stand up and say, we can do something Amazon absolutely cannot. And right now, they have a window of opportunity. They can stand up and say, we can satisfy whatever your local data sovereignty concerns are, and Amazon can't.
Do you think that played a big role in their decision-making? I mean, they obviously looked at their map and they saw this big hole in Africa, and they needed to potentially plug that gap. But do you think the fact that they have the opportunity to become an early market leader in this market would have influenced their thinking to come here?
So honestly, no. I don't think it was a factor at all. It was a balance sheet calculation, and the numbers finally went from red to green, and they said, yeah, go for it. Yeah, you have to look at it in context. For us, it's a big deal. Right? Yep. This is a big announcement. For Microsoft, they're expanding their global data center capacity by probably a fraction of 1%. Mm. Yeah, it's 5% numerically in terms of data centers, but this none of our facilities will be even remotely on the scale of their big US or European data centers.
Right.
So it's just not that big from an infrastructure expansion point of view. If you look at our revenues, the South African revenues are a tiny fraction of even the US revenues, never mind the worldwide revenues. So it makes financial sense for them to launch a data center, to offer the services here, to generate those revenues. But let's keep it in context. South Africa is still a pretty small fish in the pond.
Sure, sure. Let's talk a bit about the decision to co-locate rather than to build their own buildings for their data centers. Does it mean that that's in any way a lesser investment? They're not going to have a physical building, but they're still going to have all the hardware and software inside that inside someone else's data center. So it's still the same thing, right? It's just that there won't be a photo opportunity of someone breaking ground and putting up a building.
Well, sure, yeah. It's a time to market issue, really.
Oh, right.
It would take them time to construct a building, and it would obviously be very expensive. This way, they get to do it very quickly. They can light up services within 6 months and be fully operational inside a year. They simply couldn't do that if they were building what is basically a giant fridge from the ground up, right? Mm. They're making the same cloud decision that they're asking their customers to make. They're swapping CapEx for OpEx, right? They're saying, we will pay a higher overhead for operating this cloud services by paying a third party to manage it. As a result, they will probably not be quite as efficient as they might. So their own data centers are obviously tooled to be state-of-the-art. It's tuned very specifically to their infrastructure stack so they can achieve efficiencies that you couldn't in a general co-location center. But I don't think that'll be a huge deal. It basically means they can get services up and running very, very fast.
They'll still be able to. I mean, I presume, John, that they're going to just lease space inside a building, and they're going to deploy their own hardware and their own solutions on top of that. They're not going to. It's not like they're going to be leasing hardware as well. They're going to buy their own hardware, put it in this data center.
Yeah, they will source their own hardware, and my understanding is that, to the greatest extent possible, they will source all the off-the-shelf hardware locally. So that'll be sourced through South African suppliers.
Mm. Okay, and they're not saying yet who. Not on the record anyway. They're not saying who the data center partner is.
No, they're not. They've asked that it's not disclosed at this point, so I'll keep that under wraps.
Sure. Just to come back to hosting this infrastructure locally from a technical perspective, when we spoke about data sovereignty, but the internet is a global thing. So at first glance, maybe to a non-technical user, it would appear that if the data center is hosted in Johannesburg or out of Mongolia, it probably doesn't make all that much of a difference. But I suppose there's issues like latency, which are important to business, things like data speeds, throughputs and stuff, which would obviously be better if it's local. What are some of the technical issues that are advantageous to having infrastructure on the ground?
So there's probably a big issue and a little issue. And I think – so the little issue is probably latency. With a few exceptions, latency isn't that big a deal. Yeah, you're talking about a difference in milliseconds anyway. So, yes, there will be a noticeable difference having it on local infrastructure versus having it in Ireland. That's true. But unless you're doing absolute real-time kind of multimedia processing or something very, very time-sensitive, most cloud applications are fairly tolerant to that sort of latency. It's not that big a deal. The bigger issue is probably reliability. It's not that uncommon to have cable breaks. We have multiple undersea cables coming into South Africa right now, so we have the redundancy in place, but it does have an impact when there are cable issues. Having a facility onshore means you're far more resilient to that. Mm. That's a big win.
Okay, and speed?
So speed, it's fiber end to end. It should be comparable. So your throughput should be pretty much the same. The latency will be the big winner.
Okay. Now, in the statement you issued yesterday, you said this is going to be a big opportunity for Microsoft in the public sector in South Africa specifically. Why is that?
Well, for a couple of reasons. And data governance is a large part of that. So the public sector, obviously, very sensitive to moving sensitive data offshore. They're absolutely constrained by what they can and can't put into the cloud. Microsoft has been working closely with government to try to overcome that and try to get cloud services in there. This will be a big boost to that. I think when I speak to government CROs in particular, there's been almost an assumption that they will eventually move to a Microsoft cloud service. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has tremendous mind share in that space. So there's latent business there that was waiting to be unlocked, and I think this will do that.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about what it means for local business. Mm-hmm. We spoke in a little bit about the data sovereignty issue. But what are the cost pressures and drivers for corporate IT departments in South Africa today, and what impact will Microsoft's decision have on their strategic thinking?
Well, there is a lot of pressure, primarily economic. Yeah. The economy is not in fantastic shape. We've been downgraded, obviously. We're not in a full-blown recession, but our currency is depreciating. Interestingly enough, the currency forecasts haven't been revised significantly downwards in the light of the downgrade, which is a good news, I guess. But as it is, we know that corporate IT is under budget pressure. So they're looking to reduce costs, they're looking to consolidate. In many cases, they're looking to renegotiate contracts to make them shorter term, to restructure them around shorter or more focused deliverables. So that, in general, is shaping corporate IT spend right now. Having cloud services available is a big win in that. You can move a lot of stuff to the cloud, you can keep those costs contained. Doesn't necessarily have to be public cloud, you can do a lot of this stuff in private cloud, you can do hosted private cloud. There's a lot of hybrid options out there. Mm. But more and more cloud is playing an important role in those discussions. So we're seeing it come up quite a lot. Having cloud services available locally won't necessarily change the algorithm there. It won't change the thinking. It's still going to be priced in dollars. It'll still be, you'll still be converting it more or less the same. Mm. But it will mean there's this ecosystem around it which is developing. So skills, capabilities, a great deal of interest. And I think that it's likely to encourage that adoption of services more rapidly. So a lot of the cost containment exercises, which have really been strung out now for a few years, we've seen deferred project spend in many cases. Hopefully, this will take steps to unlock some of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you spoke about a capex versus opex issue and why that's become an important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are seeing huge pressure in hardware and software sales, mm-hmm. for example, and it's tremendous pressure. Now, it's interesting to see because when we look at cloud revenues, there's two things to consider. One is how much of it is net new revenue. So, and we see that, for example, in the application development space. It's not necessarily spend that you're taking away from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But then when we look at, for example, infrastructure as a service, that typically is cannibalizing other sales. Every virtual server you deploy in the cloud is a blade you're not putting in your own rack. Mm-hmm. So there is that impact directly on hardware and software licensing. When we look at software as a service, it's a little different because in many cases it's the same vendor. So if you move SAP into the cloud, it's still SAP. Mm. So it's not as simple as you're moving hardware and software revenues into the cloud.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more complex than that, but it absolutely is having an impact. And right now, hardware and software taking a bit of a bath. Mm-hmm. Cloud is growing very comfortably.
Okay. Does it give this corporate CIO more control over his spending as well? Do his costs become more certain? There won't be any spikes in spending as you sometimes see?
Well, that's one of the concerns around the cloud is that it's subject to currency fluctuations.
Right.
So when you're having fairly short-term big swings in currency rates and you're paying for things in dollars, that's a bit of a concern. So one of the questions that Microsoft hasn't yet answered in terms of its cloud infrastructure is whether it'll provide any kind of forward cover. Mm. So, lock down pricing on a quarterly basis, for example, to fix an exchange rate. That's something that I think CIOs would absolutely welcome. It is definitely a big concern. Mm. When you're looking at CapEx spend, at least it is what it is. Mm. So there is that concern. for companies who are really sensitive to the, to that kind of fluctuation, that opens the door to local cloud providers. And that's good. So there is a good market for that, something that which is priced in local currency, which is stable, which is consistent, not subject to US dollar swings. Great. So having, and I think that's a point that's worth making, is that having Microsoft with infrastructure in a country doesn't, you know, doesn't torpedo the local cloud industry. You know, they have to find niches to add value, but they can.
I mean, just in terms of pricing, you know, I'm an Office 365 subscriber. I pay for that on an annual basis. It's in Rand. That price seems to remain static through the year. So it appears that Microsoft, on the, at least on the consumer Office 365 side of things, is already absorbing some of the impact of that currency movement. So there's perhaps we could infer from that that they might do more in the corporate space with brand pricing.
Yeah, and it would be great. So they're not absorbing the risk there, though. You are. All they're doing is they're loading the forward cover overhead onto the price they charge you. So if there's a huge swing and it impacts the revenues, you've already paid for that. Okay. But that's fine. I mean, it's a model that works, that people are comfortable with. And Office 365 absolutely is their wedge into many organizations. So they are hoping to upsell from Office 365, you know, broader cloud offering.
So news of this investment from Microsoft came on the same day that General Motors said it's quitting South Africa.
Yes.
Which, of course, was coincidental, but perhaps shows where we should be courting investment as a country?
Yeah, possibly. So I think you can't read too much into the GM announcement. They, you know, they're undergoing a period of global contraction anyway, and South Africa was caught up in that. I think what's interesting for South Africa and for the local cloud industry, absolutely. So it is a big investment area. We're seeing fantastic growth. There's a tremendous amount of growth in difficult to reach markets. So SMEs, for example, there's a, you know, tremendous amount of value to be had in bringing SME products to market. We're seeing a lot of interest in that across the continent as well. So yeah, I mean, I think so. Cloud, telecoms in general, IoT. There are a lot of IT sectors which are looking very positive.
This is not a big job creator, though. Not directly, anyway. Could it help grow jobs in South Africa's IT sector peripherally?
Yeah, I think so. So as the cloud market grows, there will be cloud jobs. Microsoft will not be bringing in legions of cloud engineers. Yeah, it's actually quite surprising how few people you need to run a hyperscale data center.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of the hallmarks of the top tier providers. You know, they invest very heavily in automation, so they can run these things with a minimum of warm bodies on the ground. A lot of it will be managed remotely.
Yeah.
So they won't be expanding manpower to run it. But absolutely, you, as the market grows, you will see partners investing in skills. You'll see a lot more cloud consultants, a lot more developers and specialists. Hopefully, we'll see an investment in security skills. So there are a lot of areas which should benefit.
And people and developers and similar who can leverage this infrastructure to do cool things.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we see that. So one of the areas which is growing fastest right now in South Africa is platform as a service, which is actually a sign of a mature market. We're using cloud services to build our own solutions, to build out local products. It's very positive. A lot of that is obviously within enterprises, so it's internal enterprise application development, but it's very positive.
What does this mean for cloud adoption more broadly in South Africa? You say we have reached a tipping point now in terms of potential growth, and that this is good for the entire cloud ecosystem. I know you've touched on that already, but maybe elaborate a bit more on
that. Yes, well, like I said, I think there's a halo effect here. So this is a business confidence is a delicate matter, right? It's easily swayed by good news and by bad news, and this is very positive news. So that's why I think this is not just going to benefit Microsoft, but it'll benefit the other cloud providers as well. This will encourage customers to adopt cloud. It will reassure people that a top tier vendor is absolutely committed to the region, that there is infrastructure on the ground. Yeah, I think we'll see a migration of services from international data centers to this local data center, even where that's not required. So if I'm hosting a workload in an Azure zone overseas, I'm likely to bring it back to South Africa. There is a comfort factor in doing so. Even if I'm not concerned about the latency, even if I'm not concerned about the data governance, I'll still bring it back, and I'm still going to be talking about it and encouraging people to do the same. So I think we will absolutely see a groundswell of interest here. It will lead to new business. It will lead to new opportunities. Yeah, the other providers will piggyback on that. So they will benefit too. But right now, there is a window of opportunity for Microsoft to take advantage of here. Mm-hmm. Not quite first mover advantage, but very nearly. In particular, they will be watching Amazon for a similar announcement. So they have that window of opportunity to basically beat Amazon on the head until something happens. Also Salesforce, right? So competing directly, bringing Dynamics to market against Salesforce, also quite important for Microsoft.
Right. I mean, I know you know who the partner is in South Africa, so I'm not going to – let me just say a few things without you commenting perhaps. But, you know, Terraco Data Environments is building a huge new data center facility in Bredell on the East Rand, and we know that it's they're doing it in partnership with an international cloud provider. Now, I don't know if Microsoft is the company that's been that's going to be working with Terraco on that facility, but if it's not, then it, that may suggest that Amazon is going to be here sooner than we think. Which will be an interesting one. But I don't comment on that because I don't want to get you into any trouble at all, John. I do want to ask you, though, for individual consumers. So we've spoken about government, we've spoken about business. What does this actually mean for you and me at home using our Windows computer?
Probably not a great deal,
okay,
to be honest. We, yeah.
Okay.
actually, very little. Consumers are not concerned about these things, right? So consumers don't know what latency is, much less care about it. You know, we're buying subscription services, and we're happily paying for them and seeing it reflected in rands, whether it's really in dollars or not. It doesn't really matter. We're unlikely to notice the presence of a local data center.
Okay. Maybe if we use OneDrive as part of Windows and, you know, maybe our backups will be a bit quicker.
Maybe. Mm. Maybe. But even then, I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay.
You know, any top-tier cloud provider optimizes the heck out of its network for stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, for things like that, there are caches in country for things like, you know, Windows updates and stuff like that. So you aren't going to notice tremendous performance improvements in Windows services or Windows gaming or anything like that.
Okay. Lastly, what sort of time frame are we looking at here? When will these Azure facilities be live and available to businesses locally?
So officially, general availability is about a year from announcement, so that'll be middle of next year. In reality, it'll probably be about half that. So basically, by the start of next year, we should start to see services lighting up. You'll see pilot customers coming on board, and you'll see some migration tools available to a pretty select group of customers who want to move workloads from offshore data centers locally. So it won't be public, it won't be generally available, but they will start bringing services online in the first part of the year. Obviously, the sooner they can do that, the sooner they can start recognizing the revenue. So the pressure for them is really to identify the high value workloads and bring them up as fast as they can.
Okay. So looking about a year, though, for general availability.
A year for general availability is normal.
Okay. Exciting stuff. John Tallard is Research Manager for IT Services for Africa at IDC. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you, Duncan.